For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. Coming to you live from the Ketches Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. Wiggy, Mego, and Shime here with you today. Greg will be back tomorrow as we make our way over to the new studios. But yeah. I did want to bring this list to you guys' attention. Earlier, during my lead, I talked about the New England Patriots having the 7th best roster in the NFL, according to the rankings that ESPN has put out. They started breaking down their top 10 players by position. Yesterday, they did running back. Today, they've released the list of top 10 corners. Christian Gonzalez, I'll spoil it, is on the list. But where do you believe Christian Gonzalez ranks among the cornerbacks in the NFL?
All right, so I nailed the position at number 7.
Yes, you did. You nailed the roster at number 7.
Can I guess first this time?
Go for it.
I'm going to guess 3.
Okay, Wiggy?
Silence. Radio silence.
That is a really good guess.
That's why I wanted to go first.
That is a really good guess. Oh, I was going to go 3.
You can guess it too.
I'll roll the dice and go 2.
He is number 3 on the list. Yes. Pat Surtain came in at number 1. Derek Stingley at number 2. And then Christian Gonzalez at number 3. And one of the guys we've talked about a lot in terms of Christian Gonzalez's contract, because he's also up for a contract, happens to have the same agent, Devin Witherspoon, is number 4 on the list.
Yeah, what's going on with him, by the way? Do we have any updates? I know this is the dead zone, but...
So I haven't seen one in a while. The last update I saw, though, is that the sides were nowhere close.
Okay, right. Cool.
So Seattle's the same thing. Like, there's no whispers or anything coming out of it.
The agent just takes all of July.
Yeah.
He's probably on Nantucket.
We do nothing until August 1st.
Maybe he's out in Bermuda or something.
Yeah, but the Seahawks also have a ton of guys that they have to try and pay or move on from, so Witherspoon's going to be one of those guys that they're going to have to really decide on.
Well, I mean, because they paid JSN.
Yep. They let Boye Mafe go.
Yep.
Let Kenneth Walker go.
Sam Donald, didn't they give him?
That was before last season. It was like a 3-year, $100 million deal, I think, something along those lines.
Okay. So you think he might want an extension?
No, I mean, he still has 2 years left on this deal, so probably not until next season. Okay. He won't need an
extension. Right, and
if he has another good year, you're going to need to give him an extension next year.
I would hold out to see, like, can he have another good year? I don't want to get caught in the Geno Smith world, you know
exactly.
what I mean? Yeah, I would think that it'd probably be Witherspoon first to sign the deal. But that's
Gonzo's better.
But because Gonzo's better. But you know what the market is. It's like, yeah. I mean, the Trent McDuffie deal is right there.
Does it matter? Does it really matter though to just be like in name the highest paid corner in the league? Even
it's
like,
about the guaranteed money.
That's what it's about.
That's all you think he cares about.
It's about the total guaranteed money. That's what it is about, right?
That's so, where the respect is right now,
yeah.
Right?
So Trent McDuffie got $100 million guaranteed.
Number five on this list, by the way.
All right,
Trent McDuffie.
So, right. So he got $100 million guaranteed, and if you're the third best corner on this list. I know they had Derek Stingley Jr. and
Pat Surtain
ahead of them. And I believe both of them were somewhere around the 80-ish, $90 million in guaranteed money.
I think Pat Surtain got 3 for $90, almost fully guaranteed.
Yep.
They reworked it a little bit this offseason to give him some more money.
Right.
So I think he's up to like $35 million a year. Stingley, I want to say, was also like 3 for $100 with like 80-something
yeah,
guaranteed.
Right. So they were a couple years ago. So if you're Gonzalez, you're going to be looking to set the market. So you're going to be looking at McDuffie's guarantee. You're going to say, okay, I want 105. I want 110 fully guaranteed based on what Witherspoon gets. Say Witherspoon gets 105, then you'll be saying, I want 110. And that's the money. That's the thing that matters more than anything. Not the AAV, not the full contract.
But do you think Gonzalez is specifically waiting for Witherspoon, or would he sign the deal if the Patriots came to him with $115 million guaranteed? Do you think he would just sign it tomorrow?
I think he would. But they're not going to do that because they're going to try to save every $2 million that they can, so they'll wait to see what Witherspoon does.
And give him exactly $1 million more than Witherspoon.
I think they'll ultimately wait because Witherspoon isn't going to go to Seattle and go, oh, I want more than Gonzalez. They're going to have to figure out, okay, where do we put Witherspoon when it comes to, you know, what Gonzalez made at the top of the market and then where Trent McDuffie is? Do we feel like he's, and this is Seattle I'm talking about.
Well, because that's what Houston did exactly with Stingley, right? Surtain signs his contract, $390 million, I think it was like fully guaranteed.
Right. Sauce Gardner signed his.
Stingley signs 3 for $118 million and $89 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. exactly $1 million less than what Pat Surtain got.
Right, because remember, Sauce was like, I think he was at like $89 million or something fully guaranteed. The smartest thing to do, but who the hell knows if the Patriots are going to even do it, is just say, okay, we're willing to give you 115.
And just be done with it.
Yeah.
Just have him ready to go at the beginning of camp.
100%.
Have him working out with the team.
Ready to go.
Through all the drills.
Right.
Once the pads come on, he's in the best condition that he can be in.
Right.
And you're ready to go. Yeah. You're not messing around with any of this.
I know people are like, maybe his agent is trying to get him to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. No, he's not getting
he's not getting Miles Garrett, Max Crosby.
No, like, not forget about Miles Garrett, Max. He's not getting what Will Anderson Jr.
True.
Got. Yeah, I think
yeah.
Will
Anderson.
Will
Manderson, as some would call him.
Yeah, he got, what, 135 or something guaranteed.
Yeah,
I forget.
Insane.
Something crazy.
I think the question going forward, as you think about what just happened with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, is after this year, you're looking at the extension for Drake May,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to probably have to pay him at top market value.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be the key.
And honestly, does A.J. Brown, if he has a great year this year, let's say he has, Shyam, you were saying that you could see him having like 1,300 yards, right?
Oh, I could see him having 1,500 yards.
Okay. If he's getting 1,500 yards this year, do you think A.J. Brown next offseason looks around? Let's say he helps them back to a deep playoff run and he looks at the contract he's on and says, this is hunky-dory, I'm good with this?
Well, he has 3 years left on his deal. So, I mean, his contract is a lot longer. Like, you have a longer leash.
I bet he's older.
That's the point, though. He's older. If he's still putting up that production, you don't think he turns around and says, hey, I think I need a pretty big sweetener on this
I don't think
year.
He needs an extension,
no.
But you rework it a little
rework
bit.
Rework and give him more, give him a signing bonus.
Yeah, it works for the Pats because, okay, we'll give you a couple more million guaranteed up front. We free up cap space. It's like one of those things.
Right. It'll be like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to rework this deal. We'll give you a nice signing bonus, but we're going to bring your AAV down, which will help us when it comes.
Do you think they're going to do that when they have two premium positions that they're paying top of the market?
Absolutely. I think it works perfectly because if you do that with A.J. Brown, you give him the cash now.
Right.
The contract extension the contract you give to Drake May won't kick in for another 2 years anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're giving him the extension, but that new contract money won't kick in for a couple years. So you're kind of pacing out your money, right? You're giving the money now. You're giving a little sweetener to A.J. Brown. The Christian Gonzalez contract starts kicking in.
But the signing,
the Drake May contract is signed, but it doesn't really kick in until down the road a little
bit. But the signing bonus kicks in.
Sure, the signing bonus does.
Right,
but like
so that could be a giant piece of change, right? Like the contract, like if Christian Gonzalez signs his deal this fall, he won't get the money – this season. It'll kick in after this season.
I don't think it should be a foregone conclusion that they're giving all those guys the money that they want.
No, but he will get a signing bonus, like, to sign, and that's cash.
Yeah, but, like, even I'm looking at the Trent McDuffie deal. Like, the signing bonus is, like, $2.8 million. The signing bonus is nothing.
Yeah, but how much was the guarantee up front?
The guarantees up front.
There's no way he did a deal where he only got $2 million assigned.
So the roster bonus is $15 million. The signing bonus is $2.8 million.
Now we're talking about.
Yeah, there's no way he just signed a deal and he's like, you know, they just said, okay, here's 25.
So like the first year of the new contract is $12 million base, $2.8 million signing bonus, $15 million roster bonus.
We've talked about this before.
That's whatever that number is.
I just think it's going to be very eye opening. When we're talking about what the Celtics are going through with their league right now, and they have a new CBA that they're dealing with the Patriots, it's been a long time since they had to sit there and, well, had really the opportunity to pay a couple premium guys on these big extensions. And is it a foregone conclusion that they're going to pony up that cash all within 2 years of each other?
I mean, if Drake May is this good, you have to pony up that money. You don't have a choice.
Do they make it difficult? Do they say Brady used to take less?
I think so.
Yeah, they're probably going to play hardball, knowing the Patriots.
Because you got to, okay, if Drake May has another really good year.
Like top five MVP candidate.
Let's say top five MVP candidate. Have your computer ready to go.
Okay,
on
I got
this
you.
One.
I got
Uh-oh.
You.
So now you're talking Josh Allen type of contract? Because it's probably not a Patrick Mahomes type deal, right?
No, you're not getting 10 years, half a billion dollars.
So you're going Josh Allen.
Which is 6'3", 30.
6'3", 30.
With
250, I believe.
Correct, 250 guaranteed.
So we start in here.
That's a $250 million guaranteed.
So you're probably looking at what, 6 for $400 with like $280 million guaranteed?
$280 guaranteed?
If I'm his agent and he has another MVP caliber year, top five, I'm asking for, we starting high. Yeah, I'm starting 6 $400 million.
Yeah, 6 $400 million with $280 million guaranteed. That's $30 million guaranteed, more than Josh Allen, and $70 million overall more than Josh Allen.
Wiggy, honestly, does this make you angry that you weren't born like 20 years later?
Oh, when my mother was alive, I said, what were you doing? You couldn't have waited till like 1993 or 94 to have me. You had to have me at 75, in 1975. So can you imagine Drake May's agent sliding over that napkin to Robert Kraft like,
They can't do that to Robert for his health.
Wait a second. He's going to say.
That's dangerous to Robert Kraft.
Yeah. He's going to say, is that $2.8 million? They're going to be like, No.
That's $280 million.
Oh, wait. That's just the total guaranteed.
That's like me when I go into certain stores and I'm like, ooh, this is only $40. Right. Oh, there's another zero there. Right. Oops, my thumb was on that.
Oops, my bad.
And so if I'm Drake May's agent, and see, this is where the world of football has a domino effect. If they're doing this with Christian Gonzalez and they're making it difficult for him and they're like kind of dragging him along, what are they going to do to me when I want to be the guy who sets the market for the highest paid quarterback? Are they going to drag me along? I'm not, obviously they won't trade you, but is this something that's going to drag him along? How's that going to
And he's going to have guys in his class, Wiggy, sorry to jump in, but that are probably going to be having the same conversation because you have Caleb Williams, you have Jaden Daniels.
Right. And if Caleb Williams goes back to the playoffs again, he's going to have an argument for a big payday.
And that's
same with Jaden Daniels.
Not going to be an easy conversation.
Right. No.
And which one of those guys
is going to get paid the most.
And but the team is like, all right, we're going to take care of you because you're our guy. We're not going to, you know, like string you along. We're not going to play this dog and pony show with you. We're going to give you that deal. Now, I don't think that Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams will be in a position potentially unless they have like an extremely great year. But I still think that's not enough to say, all right, we're going to put them ahead of Josh Allen. Because Drake May was second in MVP voting, if he finishes top five, he has a real case for that when it comes to like, all right, I want to set the market, which is making more than Josh Allen. So those guys might not be in that world, but you're going to be, as the New England Patriots, in a position where you're going to have real conversations potentially with a guy that could be asking you for more than what Josh Allen got.
See your calls on Drake May and the chances of the Patriots paying him or not paying him. We'll get to that call coming up here in just 2 minutes on the Greg Hill Show, and then soon we'll be getting to audio of Antoine Walker talking about the Boston Celtics and possibly owning their own arena. We'll get to that coming up here on the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy Mego Scheim filling in today for Greg.
For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's the Greg Hill Show on WEEI, live from the Catcher's Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. Wiggy, Mego, and Scheim in today for Greg. Greg will be back tomorrow as we make our way over to the new studios. Excited to do that.
I am so excited to get in here. In there.
I can't wait to just get out of here. This is a big thing.
Yeah, this building is so creepy right now, and it's just, I don't know, it's gross. I'm excited for that. I went into the new studio.
You don't like this dojo?
The new studio is so much nicer.
So clean.
Yeah. It smells good.
It's got that fresh, like that new car smell.
Yeah.
It's like the difference of moving out of a like frat house into a nice grown-up place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like literally going from like the basement. I don't have any brothers, but imagine if you were living in the basement or the attic and one of your brothers or sisters moved out the house and you got their room. So you get to move to the main living, like the main living areas, you know?
We're like crawling out of the shadows.
Yeah, it's like,
like hill people. Yeah, the hills have eyes.
We are definitely in the bunker down here.
Oh, Wiggy, did you see the trailer for Resident Evil?
I did.
I haven't watched it yet. I love the director who's doing it because he did Weapons and Barbarian.
Right. Oh.
Is it going to be something that I'm into, or do I need to know about the video game?
Very interesting. See, this is the thing. It's nothing like the video game.
Okay, good, because I don't know anything about the video game.
Yeah, because the video game, the premise is completely different. They've had a couple Resident Evils movies based off the video game, especially with that Mila Jovovich. She was in them. But this here is completely different than how the video game is set up. So I think there are a lot of people like, ooh, it's not really the video game. I love the video game. Very interested. How's this going to work? So there's kind of like two sides of people right now.
Are you excited for it?
I am excited for it. You know me, I'm a movie buff for all those like movies. I just saw Supergirl, which I thought it was good.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I'm a comic book, not nerd, but I'm a comic book
guy,
nerd fan, where I do enjoy.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually read them, but you'll watch all the movies.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, like maybe I didn't really dibble and dabble that much, but I
what
do
about
love the movies.
Odyssey? You gonna see the Odyssey?
I'll probably
not our company. Nope. The Odyssey with the O.
Yeah.
I'll probably go see it. I just hope it's not one of those movies where Christopher Nolan, like Inception, is like, you know, 2.5 hours or what?
So long,
and then you're like, wait a second. So I just wasted, you know, 3 hours of my life for this,
dude. How are we still doing this with like these movie theaters where you have The runtime of the Odyssey is 2 hours, 52 minutes.
That's insane.
That is long.
Like, we're all sitting there eating and drinking in the theater, and you haven't seen the movie before, so you don't know when to get up and try to use the bathroom.
No, you never get up and use the bathroom.
We need an intermission.
No, this, what do you think this is?
We need shorter movies.
Forget intermission.
We need shorter movies.
A 3-hour movie.
You got to
no
go beforehand.
Stop doing 3-hour movies. Yeah. That's the solution.
Well, if you're going to do 3 hours, I need a lot of action. I need a lot of action.
Nonstop.
It's got to be like, if this movie here, I don't need it to be.
Avengers Endgame. Like, that's the kind of movie I need 3 hours.
But even that, I even need more action than that, because there was a little bit of lulls in that. But like Odyssey, I don't know if you're going to be able to get, you know, a nonstop action, because they're going to have to tell the story and all that.
As a fan of Greek mythology, I want to see this movie, but 2 hours and 52 minutes is a slog.
How much do you remember from the actual story? Because I haven't read it since high school.
Quite a bit.
I don't even remember the main plot points. I remember, like, the monsters.
Well, so I'm curious if this is going to be specifically the Odyssey, or if there's going to be parts of the Iliad.
Is it also going to be the Iliad?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the battle... Yeah, so it's two books, the Iliad and the Odyssey. If you're talking about the Iliad, you're talking about, like, the Battle of Troy, the Trojan Horse, all that stuff.
But they already did that with Troy.
Yes.
They did with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's going to be elements of that in here, then it's going to be a combination of the Iliad and the Odyssey, because the Odyssey is specifically Odysseus's journey home following the events of the Trojan War.
That's the way it's going to be. That's what this movie is, because they kind of, if you saw the trailers, it's like, it is kind of like Troy with the Brad Pitt, where they do have that scene, but now it's how, it's really Matt Damon's journey back to see his family and everything.
Yeah, because like Odysseus battles like a Cyclops and like the Hydra and the Sirens.
So is there a lot of action in that?
Spoiler alerts.
Well, come on, the book's been around for like 4,000 years.
So there's a lot of action in that book then.
Yeah, solid amount. Yeah,
all right, so yeah. Then I think his journey back home, because that's what it looks like, better be littered with tons of action, because if not, who the hell wants to sit there through, you know? Because you know some of those, like, you know, whether it's Gladiator, whether it's Troy, some of those, like...
I didn't see Gladiator 2.
The Gladiator 2, I saw that. Some of those, like, Greek... What do they call it? Greek... how do you say
Swords
it? Greek
and sandals.
Mythology? Greek mythology movies. A lot of those tend to have, like... pockets of boring slowness in it.
Yeah, I get that.
So
yeah, when they talk about like the laws and like the judiciary stuff, like
the love story.
So think about think about that for 3 hours or whatever the hell it is, where you got to sit through this kind of like love story for your 45 minutes of just boringness. Imagine how much time they're gonna have to fill. When you saw Gladiator was a great movie, but there's that lull. Is that there was that lull in Troy, and how long is that going to be when the movie, what do you say, is 3 hours and...
2 hours, 52 minutes?
2 hours, 52 minutes.
Yeah, but
minutes?
That's not including all the previews and everything. Like, cause you don't exactly know when it starts.
But see, I'm a preview guy.
See, I am too. I love a good trailer.
My kids always, in the theater. They always try to ruffle my nerves by being like, we don't have to see the previews.
I like seeing the previews,
I will leave everybody, my wife, my kids, behind... and go sit in the movie, because if you make me miss previews, I will absolutely go bananas. And I see, and I go to YouTube and watch a ton of trailers anywhere, but I always feel like they're going to show a trailer that I haven't seen. And that's why I will leave literally everybody. I'll go in, get my food, and if figure it out when you get there, I'm in my seat watching my previews.
Ooh, when it says at the top, like, this is approved for some audiences. And you're like, oh, it's going to be a good one.
978 text for you, Mego. Apparently, there's an app for this. It's called Run P. Tells you when you should go during a movie that you haven't seen before.
So it tells you when the boring part is.
Correct. Like that stupid dialogue that you don't need.
Okay. That's,
oh, really?
That sounds really easy.
978 text says there's an app for it.
I thought that app meant... it told you how long the previews and everything were when the movie would actually stop.
It's telling you times in the movie when you can go to the bathroom so that you don't miss anything.
So if I drink my Diet Coke really quick and I'm like, nature calls.
So there you go.
See, I'll never walk out of a movie, even if it's god-awful.
617-779-7937. This is the Greg Hill Show. We are live on Twitch and on YouTube. Our broadcast on Twitch and YouTube is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. It's summer, and for those of you heading towards the Portsmouth, New Hampshire area, be sure to stop into Springer's Jewelers. The best diamond selection, the best price. prices, a team to help you buy exactly what you need, and tax-free. Visit SpringersJewelers.com for more. We're going to get into some comments Antoine Walker made with a friend of the station or fellow weekend host Zach Gelb not too long ago. We're going to get into that about the Celtics' new arena, getting a new arena. Coming up next year on the Greg Hill Show.
I think the Boston Celtics are operating from an ownership situation. New owners, they're looking at how we can be profitable. And I think without having your own arena, they're not going to be profitable as profitable as they need to be. And I think you have to come off some of that salary. They're paying a lot of money. Derek White makes big money as well. I mean, think about the guys they got rid of. They got rid of Holiday. He was making 30-plus million. I mean, Al Horford was making 15, 20 million. I mean, so they came off some guys that's making big money to try to make this thing work. So hopefully they get it done. I want to see those guys finish it out. I think they got one more chip in them.
Unfortunately, they don't have one more chip in them. That was Antoine Walker with fellow Odyssey host Zach Gelb talking about the Celtics' need for
Odyssey,
an arena.
Odyssey A-U-D.
Yes,
not
A-U-D-A-Z-Y.
Not Odyssey that we were just talking about.
Nope.
O-D-Y.
Correct. Yeah. That is Homer's Odyssey. This is A-U-D-A-C-Y, like the Odyssey app, which you can download and listen to the show anywhere you go. You can take it with you. It's free. You can even listen to Red Sox games on it. It's kind of nice. But so that was Antoine Walker talking about the Celtics' need for their own arena. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. Like, this is kind of one, it has to be one of the goals for Bill Chisholm at this point to find a way to get his own arena and to start really kind of turning this into a very profitable position. And I think that's one of the reasons you probably see him shedding money. Is like, okay, we're going to need to pay for this arena. We can't be also paying, you know, two max guys and then getting into second aprons and penalties and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, we kind of knew that when he bought the team. I mean, that was one of the big things that we had talked about, Chom and Mego, I feel like forever. When whoever was buying the team, even before he bought it, we talked about they're going to want a new arena anyways. Yeah. You know, like, that's really... How, like, and we might have been talking about this off air, but the two ways that you make money in sports when you own a franchise, generally through the TV deals, which are already set in place, right? You figure out what those are, and then you get the TV deals. And the other ones, isn't it ticket sales for your home games? So when you start to look at if you're buying a basketball team, you already know what the TV money's going to be. Now we're talking about 41 home games that I can make money off of. Ticket sales, merchandise, all that stuff that goes into the people filling up the arena night in and night out. We talk about that with John Henry. Night in and night out, people are going there. Regardless if you're a Red Sox fan or whether you're the fan of the opposing team, you're spending money on those tickets. You're buying hot dogs. You're buying drinks. You're buying merch. Like, that's because you own your own arena. Whoever bought this team, and we talked about it, like, that's the number one goal. You're not going to spend $6 billion to be renting out an arena and have to then pay money to, you know, to lease at the TD Garden. It just don't make sense.
I just have a lot of questions about how it would work out for the Celtics building a new arena in the city, because, like, what works for the Bruins is that they have their own games to sell.
Yep.
They have the Celtics as tenants, and then they can do all the other events around there, whether it's like a Bluey live concert,
whatever it is,
or Sabrina Carpenter or whatever. Can you have two of those sort of venues in the city where each team plays in one and doesn't rent it out to anybody else, because the Bruins will lose the Celtics as tenants? And then, is it just the Celtics in that building? There's no WNBA team, even if that would only supply a small amount of revenue.
There'll be shows.
I keep reading this whole summer about how many groups are folding their tours and how this blue dot fever is what they call it, because people are looking at places like Ticketmaster and whatever, and they're saying, I'm not paying $120 to see somebody who was famous in 1997. Like, these prices are ridiculous.
But there's still a shows. That's the thing. Like, there's the Celtics arena, and guess what? There's the Red Sox stadium. Those are in the same city, and those have shows. You know,
there's,
I don't want
shows at Gillette. I know it's a little farther away.
And I don't want to say night in.
It's different sizes of acts.
Yeah,
though.
True.
But I don't want to say night in and night out. But I mean, what's Fenway hold? 35,000?
I don't know.
It's something along.
Sounds about
somewhere.
It, right?
And the Celtics might hold, like, I don't know, 22 or something. Like
Fenway holds 37,000.
Right.
Does that include for concerts, though?
No, but
I mean,
they,
whatever.
Yeah, but they'll. But my point is that if you built your own arena for the Celtics, you would obviously get your 41 nights for basketball, but then you'll get those other shows and concerts. Like, granted, there might be more locations, but hey, guess what? Chris Brown is in Gillette. Maybe he does his tour at the Celtics Arena, and then you said Noah Kahan is at Fenway. Like, so yep. You'll get
all this week.
Yeah, so you'll get.
Are you going?
People.
Not currently, but Greg said he'd take me, so right. I got to text Greg and see.
What nights are the shows?
Tonight, tomorrow, and then Friday, Saturday, I believe.
Well, you got to jump on that then.
And you see the thing with concerts, Mago, and you should know this. You love music. You're a music person. Chris Brown just had a concert at Fenway maybe 2 years ago. Like, those artists, they know in order for them to make money, they have to constantly be on tour. So you'll have Noah Kahan here at Fenway Park, and guess what? Maybe in 2 years he'll be at Gillette. So he needs to continue. That's because that's where the money is in music. The money is not in record sales. It's in touring. So adding another stadium, Chisholm looks at it and goes, oh, we're going to get our 41 nights, plus we'll be able to fill this up whenever we host other events. Like, that's not going to be the issue. The issue becomes they probably make the bulk of their money for home games, the same way the Celtics and the Red Sox do it. But you can't, as an owner of a professional sports team, go, how can we make money and spend money when we're having to do all this, and now we're also spending money for the building that we're playing in?
Yeah, I would like the Celtics to do whatever makes them the most profitable so that they can extend themselves for the best players.
And definitely. That's owning
so
your own arena.
In the short term, if that means that there's a crunch because they're trying to break ground on an arena or decide on a site or something, if for the next 25 years that means that they can be a team that spends in the top 3 to 5 teams, like, fine, whatever. Those financials for me as a basketball watcher and fan are just way above my head.
But how long is that wait? But how long is that wait, though?
I don't know, because they have a 10-year lease with the Bruins.
No, you could break the lease, but let's say they find a place.
I don't know how long it takes if you say, hey, we're going to break ground right next to South Station. We have this parcel of land. I don't know how long that development takes for a project that size.
This is where the issue could become. This is where it could become a bigger problem. Right? Let's say they do that. So if they break the lease, then that means that's more money they have to pay to get out of the lease. Mm-hmm. Now if they're breaking ground to build a stadium, that's more money they have to build a stadium. That Jason Tatum window is closing and closing and closing.
Oh, it becomes shut.
Right? So because if you're saying, well, we can't spend money for the next 4 or 5 years because it's going to take 4 or 5 years for this new arena to open up. Now Jason Tatum's 33, 34 years old. Now you're trying to find out who the next Jason Tatum is to now build this stuff.
That's that 2031 pick.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Let's go to Dan in Boston. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I think what I was saying is that an expert, when Bill Chisholm bought the team, an arena expert came on CNBC and told the viewers that the Celtics are a great franchise, but they overpay because they have poor arena economics. They don't get any concessions at all at TD Garden. They're just tenants. I don't think they pay a lot of rent, but they don't get any concessions. So those concessions could go towards salaries, could go towards a lot more capital improvements, and they are going to have it. You know, they're one of the very few basketball or any franchise that does not own their own stadium.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
They're not the only one. I mean, the Lakers technically don't own their own arena. Yeah. Crypto.
Well, the new owners don't, right? Yeah. Is what you're talking about. Yeah,
it's
owners.
Owned by like the entertainment group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. they're in an unusual position in that they rent from the owner from Delaware North, but they're not the only team in the NBA that don't own their own arena. There's also a lot of arenas that are like a public-private partnership with the local, which, again, is that like something, it's a foregone conclusion to us that the owners of the Celtics can just go out and establish an arena in the city. This, as we've seen in the past, that's not something that's always easy to do in the city of Boston.
But do you think that didn't the person who bought the Lakers, didn't they pay like $10 billion, or wasn't it something crazy like that?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yes.
Right? So do you believe that they're going to be like, or we're just going to stay here?
You think they're going to get out of the crypto?
Of course they are.
The crypt?
Yeah, of course they're going to. Because it doesn't make sense.
Is crypto still a thing? Like, is that even still popular?
I don't know.
I don't want phone calls on that. Yeah. Please don't ask that question.
Because, Mego, it doesn't make sense, right? To the caller's point, concessions is one part of it, right?
Right.
Concessions is... It's ticket sales, too. Like, how much of the ticket sales are you actually getting if you're the Celtics? You think the Bruins are just, like, going, oh, don't worry about it.
How about merch? Where does the merch go?
Like, the Bruins...
The pro shop.
The Bruins owners that own the actual building, they're getting every single piece of that, right? Their fingerprints are all over that. If you're an owner of a team who just spent $6 or $10 billion, you don't want nobody else's sticky hands on your money. You don't want to have to say, okay, we get $10, but guess what? Now we have to give $3 to this person, so we're only walking away with $7.
I mean, it could be super nice if they built a place that was like the Chase Center. It's like a brand new building just for basketball. Like that, I just don't, this is all way above my head in terms of how long that takes, how much money that takes, how that works with the local government, which can be really stubborn about projects like that around here.
No, I get that. And that's why I think that the part of it is like dependent on who buys the team, right? So if you don't got, if somebody who comes in and buys the team, I know they were talking like Bezos, somebody who has like FU money, like stupid buku cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And says, you know what? We'll write the check for our players. We'll write the check to get out of the lease. And we'll write the check for the building the new arena because I know I'm going to hold on to this asset for the next 25, 30 years. And it's going to be something that is going to give me stupid money.
Generational cash.
So you got to come in with that mindset, right? But you got to have, you got to understand, you got to have a lot of money to do that. If this guy's penny pinching, then you're seeing exactly what you get. We as fans are going to go, well, wait a second. If it's going to take you 5 years and your investments in building a new arena, paying to get out of a lease, now the Jason Tatum window is going to basically go, you know, we're going to be like, what is this team they're building around them? And now we got to wait till the next Jason Tatum or the next guy that you get, the young up-and-coming superstar, that you can say, all right, we are now back in the mix. Because that's what we had to do with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. That's Wiggy, Mego. I'm Sean, filling in for Greg this morning. Real quick, before we hit a break, Josh, let's open the Window World of Boston weather window, please. It's currently 65 degrees out and raining here in the city of Boston. It's going to be raining basically all day and into the evening. The high today only in the high 60s here, around 67. If you're going outside, make sure to bring an umbrella. And that's the Window World of Boston weather window.
How the hell does it go from 95 degrees for 4 days straight? Look, and this is why when people are like, oh, New England's so great. No, when we had such beautiful hot, because I love the hot weather.
I like the hot weather, too.
Now it's
New England is mental. Like, it goes
so
all
crazy
the
with the weather.
Yeah, I maybe that's a question we'll have to ask Curtis when he comes back, because I'm just the fill-in weather guy.
When is that? Like, 3 weeks from now?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, who knows?
Well, you better get on him.
Might take another month vacation.
There you go.
Who knows? we'll be right back here on the Greg Hill Show. It's Wiggy, Mego.
For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
And Shine.
It's the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. Jones and Keefe coming up at 10 a.m. You can watch this show and Jones and Keefe on Twitch and on YouTube. And the broadcast on Twitch and YouTube is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. It's summer, and for those of you heading towards the Portsmouth, New Hampshire area, be sure to stop into Springer's Jewelers. The best diamond selection, the best prices, a team to help you buy exactly what you need. And tax-free, visit springersjewelers.com for more.
Dude, I'm a little worried for Jones.
Why?
Coming back at 10. Did you check his social media?
Mm-mm. Oh, last night during the game?
No, he's going scorched earth for just 8 hours straight. I'm like,
on what?
You're still on vacation, dude.
Brad Stevens.
Oh.
Team USA.
I mean, World Cup. I was like, man.
I got the Brad Stevens stuff. Like, is he a big soccer guy?
I think he was into the World Cup.
He's just a proud American.
He's a big USA guy.
Yeah, right. I think he was rooting for USA, okay. Just like in the Olympics for the hockey team.
Right.
I think Jones was just a big supporter of U.S. All national right. team.
He was going
which I respect.
Nuts on social media.
I don't blame him.
I get the Brad Stevens stuff, like, because that's still like the reality of it kind of like setting in. Like,
who lost their minds worse on Twitter? Rich Keefe when Jaylen Brown got traded, or Jones yesterday during the Brad Stevens press conference? Because they both were like out of their minds. I happened to be on vacation at the time.
All right. Yeah.
Probably Jones.
Maybe.
Because Jones was like the sheer quantity of tweets was just endless.
And I feel like that's
nonstop.
I'm not on Twitter as much, but I feel like that's where you really go to complain.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's exactly where you go to complain.
Because I'm just like an Instagram.
Live update events and complain. Yeah. That's what Twitter's good for.
I like the Instagram because I'm a visual person, so I like the videos and all that other stuff.
And there are real people still there.
True. Yeah, not but as many bots.
But I don't know, though. I don't know, like, the bots and everything, but the AI is completely, I can't tell what's real and what's fake no more with the AI videos.
Instagram?
Oh, yeah, they're so good.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Every time I see a video, I'm like, is that even real? Like, it could just be anybody talking. Like, when Jaylen Brown is talking, like, I'm like, is that really Jaylen Brown?
Well, and you got to be careful on Twitter now, because they'll post old clips of, like, Jaylen Brown's stream, but then put the quote as, like, F the Celtics, I hate that team, that organization stinks.
Or their old doctor, all the podium videos now, they, like, doctor so many of them.
And they look so real. Like, and that's the thing about AI. It's like, wow, that is just, like, that looks good.
I first discovered them when it would be, like, Caitlin Clark talking about Angel Reese, it would have her saying some crazy stuff, and I'd be like, wait, what?
Those are fake.
So fake.
But it's the ones that you really like, you don't like. Now I don't know what commercials are AI or what commercials are real. It's just like madness.
Wiggy, do you think that kids will try to use AI in their recruiting video?
I thought I heard that there were kids that were actually doing that.
That just occurred to me. It'd be so funny.
They've already done that.
If you were like a football recruit and you're putting together a video
AI highlights.
AI just like pancaking some guy.
they were actually
one-handed catch in the end zone.
They're actually, if you look online, there were like, I remember seeing the story out there, but there was actually a story out there where, you know, somebody did this. So they're using
That's
AI
crazy.
For everything. Everything.
You got to check your sources, man. Double, triple, quadruple check everything.
Yeah.
You can't just believe the first thing you see anymore.
Like, it's just crazy. You don't.
Wild West. Not one of the top five American eras, Wild West. A different kind of Wild West.
Yeah, and the internet is undefeated. Like, did you see the Jaylen Brown cartoon post of Stephen A. Smith?
What?
No, oh, my God. What you didn't
this?
See that?
No. What is
oh,
this?
He, like, reposted. Somebody did, like, this cartoon animation of Stephen A. Smith basically going, I am here only to do the work of the overlords. It's like something along those lines. I'm going to make stuff up. I'm
making fun of ESPN.
Yeah, and it was like Stephen A. Smith was like, you know, like the animated characters, like, I'm never going to have any sources. I'm just going to say stuff, and especially against Jaylen Brown. And that's because that's what it was like. And then Jaylen Brown reposted it on his IG, like going at Stephen A. Smith. Boy, he's definitely getting some shots.
Yeah, he not a fan of ESPN.
Well, it'll
Jaylen
be
Brown.
Interesting because Stephen A. I would guess still has some inroads in Philly because that's where he started. Where he started, but that's where he really established himself.
Yeah, but that's like no one. I think we've had this conversation before. Like,
you don't think he talks to anybody?
No.
Who talks to Stephen A. Smith?
Like, honestly, have you ever
other executives.
Have you ever seen an athlete come out and go, I like Stephen A. Smith?
I don't know.
No.
I think if they do, they probably just stay quiet because they don't want to get in the middle of all his stuff.
But I don't think there's never been like somebody like I've heard people say, oh, Shaq, I like Charles Barkley. Like there's other analysts, but I have never heard one athlete or one, you know, person in that world go. Even the people that work for him are always like, he basically is like, I can't bite the hand that feeds me.
Right.
You know
truly.
What I mean? Like, if I could sit down with Perk for 10 minutes and be like, bro, tell me what you really think of him. He would probably be like, but he can't, you know, I get it. You can't bite the hand that feeds you.
Well, that'll do it today for us on the Greg Hill Show. Great job, Wiggy. Great job, Mego. I'm Chris Schein filling in for Greg today. We didn't get the Hill Notes, but if we did, they'd be brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman. It's electric.
That's it, huh?
That'll do it, Wiggs. All flew right. by, huh?
Back at it.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Jones and Keefe coming up next tomorrow, 6 a.m., live from the new studio. Greg Hill will be back. It'll be Greg, Mego, Wiggy, myself behind the glass. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.